scripture reading for this morning is John 15, verses 1 through 8, as well as verses 16 and 17. I am the vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you.
Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me.
I am the vine.
You are the branches.
Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned.
If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. You did not choose me,
but I chose you,
and I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last,
so that the Father will give you whatever you ask in his name.
I am giving
you these commands so that you may love one another.
I think the scripture might have given it away, or just my presence, but surprise. What you don't know is that Dave, my co-pastor, is currently on vacation, so in order for me to be here, I had to kind of jump through a couple extra hoops to make sure the pulpit was covered back at my congregation. So I'm Regina Wanger. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Mark and Kathy's oldest daughter. The honor of being able to preach this morning in a service celebrating Mom's ministry is a privilege almost too great for words. It's a well-known fact that parents enjoy bragging on their children, and mine are no exception. But it's not very often that children get a chance to brag about their parents. And so I'm really relishing this opportunity to deliver the message this morning. Now, before I go any further, Mom and Dad, I want to ask your permission under these special circumstances to waive the family $5 rule. We good? Okay. It's our family's preaching guideline, in case you don't know, that a person receives $5 if they are used as a sermon illustration without permission. So this is, I just needed to get that done and out of the way before I proceeded any more in the sermon. And I don't have my checkbook with me either, so it would not have worked well. You know I recently lost my wallet. When it came to selecting a text for this morning, the choice was very, very easy. The scripture passage that was read from John 15 was the text Mom selected for her ordination 18 years ago. I could think of no better way to bookend Mom's ministry than preaching on this scripture. And because I'm nothing if not a thorough researcher, I got a hold of the order of service for Mom's ordination. I contacted the preacher from that service to try to get a hold of that sermon. And Charlotte, when she was home a couple of weeks ago, and you discovered this a little bit this morning, under the auspices of packing for the move, went and dug around a little bit in the house and found a couple, as we historians like to say, primary sources that will make their way into the sermon this morning. This is a sermon on and for my mother, a fruitful branch. I love John's gospel for many reasons. It's my favorite, but one of the things that I find most beautiful is the way John uses words, both vocabulary and literary structure. It's a sight to behold. And he uses words carefully to communicate the revelatory news that Jesus is the Christ. And across the gospel, John uses the same words and themes to communicate the message of Jesus. One of those words, abide, or meno in the Greek, acts as the central imperative, the do this statement in our scripture today. Now, a couple weeks ago, I preached a sermon on vocation for a worship service celebrating our high school seniors. The text that day was John 1, 35 to 39, where Andrew and another disciple follow Jesus, and when he asks where they're going, what they're looking for, the men respond, "Where are you staying?" Staying in this text, if you look at it, more accurately means abiding. Where are you abiding? My point in this earlier sermon was that vocation, rather than being something one does, is a state of being, where one abides fully in God and in the person God created them to be. Now, under the guise of preparing for that sermon, I interviewed Mom about her calling to ministry. How did she now, at the end of her career, view her vocation and its evolution over time? I knew Mom never intended to be a pastor. She, on several occasions, has even used the term reluctant to describe her journey into ministry. And Mom always said she went to seminary because she wanted to learn more about God and serve the church. Pastoral ministry was not something that she had really gone to seminary to pursue. And in her 1994 ministerial candidate response form from Virginia Mennonite Conference, told you there's primary sources in here, Mom articulated her vocation this way: "My call to service emerges from who I am, my experiences, and how my gifts are affirmed and used. The foci of my time and talents may vary from time to time, but the call to serve the church remains constant." Such a self-description shows Mom's clear sense of identity, but she also indicates her willingness to serve God in many different places and ways. And around the same time that I was working on this sermon on vocation, I was also facing a pastoral care incident where my gender was a liability. Though I felt hurt and angry, I hid it all week. Yet something didn't quite sit right with me. So I called Mom up, as I have done many, many times, and asked her, "How do you do it? It takes so much strength not to succumb to the impulse to assert yourself when people demean your position as a female pastor. How do you cope when someone announces that because you're a woman, you can't serve communion to their mother-in-law? What response do you give after years of serving in pastoral ministry when somebody still introduces you as the pastor's wife? Why allow the pulpit in your own congregation to be closed to you for a decade? Why not stand up for yourself?" Mom replied with the nonchalance of experience-born wisdom. And I'm paraphrasing here. "Passive-aggressive behavior only plays into the negative image people have of women in ministry," she said. "Acquiescing leaves space open for you to still be you and for God to work in that situation and perhaps change someone's mind." And in the minutes following that conversation, as I was sitting on my bed, I wondered where Mom received the strength to act the way that she did. Then it hit me. Mom got to a place where she was able to so fully abide in the vine of Christ that when others questioned her identity, the sting wasn't quite as severe. The strength of her identity in Christ enabled her to say, "I am called by God." And that is enough. There's a story that's told of mice and elephants playing baseball. When at bat, the elephants attempted to swing at whatever their opponents threw at them, and sometimes they hit balls straight over the fence. They went yard. But other times, they struck out. While it's true that coming out swinging is an excellent way to score points, it's not the only way. The mice, on the other hand, approach their at-bats a little differently. Now, they're by nature small in stature, and so the mice possessed an impossibly tiny strike zone. All the pitches thrown their way never hit the mark. As a result, each at-bat for the mice was a walk. It was all balls. And they just brought runs in by going around and constantly loading the bases. In fact, they scored more points than the elephants because they never got an out or put the ball into play. And I think Mom's approach to pastoral ministry matches the batting strategy of the mice, even though I know they're not her favorite creatures, especially when they land in her pantry. Even though she did get hit by pitches on occasion, Mom, just by being who she was created to be, slowly and steadily changed how her congregations viewed women in ministry. She accomplished what no amount of pushing her own agenda could ever do. Mom's also done this by simply being open to the opportunities that God has set before her in ministry. A decade after completing seminary, Mom told me she entered pastoral ministry simply because Dad asked if she was interested in co-pastoring with him. It felt right, and she really possessed no sorts of hesitation or qualms about it, despite thinking that she would never pastor a congregation. Now, a good vine grower trains branches by pruning, right, Grandpa? So that they grow out in a particular direction. And I believe that because Mom abided in Christ, she was able to go where God sent her, how God sent her, even amidst those seasons and times of pruning, and Mom took those places God put her, those spaces, and she made them her own, flourishing in the process. Mom's gifts for worship, for teaching, manifested themselves whether it was in the classroom or leading worship, writing curricula, or planning a service. Her intentionality at marking Advent cultivated within both Charlotte and me a love for the season, an appreciation for the counter-cultural rhythms of the church calendar. Mom also started the regular practice of holding Christmas Eve services at Springdale, and soon the annual tradition became so well known in the community that it would draw folks from all over, and it still continues on. It's an outreach that the congregation continues. And by following the training, by following God's direction, the vine grower's direction, we read in John that branches produce quality fruit. The fruits of Mom's years of ministry are varied and robust, and I'm sure you all have your own stories, but allow me to share a couple of mine. When Mom was young, her family cleaned the church building of their home congregation, Mechanic Grove Mennonite. When they finished their work, Mom and her sister Kay would go to the sanctuary. Kay played the piano, and Mom preached behind the pulpit. Mom credits this childhood imitation for preparing her for the time when God did call her to preach from the pulpit. And by the time she had entered pastoring, the pulpit was already a familiar space. I recently had someone in another congregation who thought I led worship really well ask me whether I practiced as a child. No, I said, I didn't. I watched my mom, and I learned from her. Mom, it's a credit to both you and to Dad that Charlotte and I never felt like any space or place was off limits to us. We were simply to be who God called us to be. This is the fruit of your faithfulness. Your daughters glimpsed the possibilities available if one abides in Christ. And Charlotte and I were not the only ones to benefit from your example. And I didn't know how fortunate I was to grow up seeing a woman in the pulpit until seminary. I remember casually sharing with some other female Mennonite classmates a little of my mom's story. They responded with awe and excitement, and due to their enthusiasm for Mom's testimony, they found a way to bring her to Duke for a lunchtime lecture so she could share a little bit with any seminarian who wanted to come and listen. Mom was flattered and I think a bit surprised to be asked, but she came and we had a wonderful, wonderful time. And growing up, I took for granted, I think, the gift of Mom's presence in the pulpit. I'm thankful that I received the opportunity to share her story with my peers and that we could have some time exploring seminary together. But if you didn't know, even before she formally entered pastoral ministry, Mom, through her faithfulness, was making spaces her own, inspiring other young women and men to pastoral ministry. Germantown Mennonite pastor Amy Yoder McLaughlin, on the occasion of her ordination, noted the importance of Mom's example when Amy was just a student in high school. Amy said, "I never actually met a female pastor until high school when I met Kathy Weaver Wanger. I remember being shocked by her role and by her two last names. It was beyond my understanding that a woman would hold on to her own name and identity and would break all the rules of the Bible and become a pastor." I had a chance to talk to Kathy a few years ago. I commented on how radical, that's the word I think of when I think of my mother, radical I thought she was at the time. She shared with me the incredible difficulty she had working in the Lancaster Mennonite school community as a female Bible teacher and pastor in the mid-80s. I cannot even begin to imagine what she faced. It was because of the courageous women pastors like Kathy that Amy says, I can stand here today. Mom's patience is a fruit of her abiding in Christ. It's because of her steadiness that by the time of my parents' departure from Springdale, persons were standing up during congregational sharing and calling for Mom to preach. Such a disposition also enabled her to receive an unsolicited email from a former congregant who'd hurt and insulted her, asking for forgiveness years, a decade or more after the incident occurred. Though I know it has not been easy. And she does put forth effort. I am constantly amazed with the ease that Mom abides in Christ. Since she was a little girl, it has remained her source of strength, security, and grace. It's the source from which she receives the nourishment she's needed to produce abundant fruit. As a way to visualize the John 15 text at her ordination, Mom had representatives from her family, Virginia Mennonite Conference, and the Springdale congregation decorate a grapevine wreath. You can see it up here on the screen, or we did bring it this morning as well. By their participation in this wreath decorating, folks affirmed Mom's call to ministry and sought to bless her as she continued to journey with God. And since coming back to Lancaster, this wreath has hung up until I think this past week above Mom's desk in her home office. A constant reminder of her vocation and the flourishing that occurs when one abides in Christ. Now, Mom, like your wreath, you've come full circle. Ordination to retirement. We celebrate today the blossoming of the lasting fruits of your ministry, planted by God and affirmed by the church. Your faithful abiding in the vine has brought God and continues to bring God glory. Well done, Kathy. A fruitful branch.